Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, we thank you that we can join you today. And we ask for your anointing and your blessings upon everybody out there, that you meet their needs in every way, Father, in the name of Jesus. Make great changes that are on the way right now. So we thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, we're going to study One Bride, Gifts and Anointing, number 2. And this should be very good. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to start off with this revelation called Faithful Builders and the Falling Away. RV received this. I had a dream that I felt was regarding the corporate body and was replayed over and over again. And I prayed about the dream. Parts of it were shown again to me just as if I was sleeping and dreaming. But I was wide awake. And I have been shown what most of it means and believe it to be a warning to the corporate body as well as to UBM. It is double-edged in that it embraces warning, judgment, and protection. I will not recount all of the dream, only portions for your judgment. I was in a large meeting, and it was comprised of only architects. These are groups of people who understand what it takes to build something. Yeah, and the understanding of what it takes to build the kingdom or rebuild the kingdom after a falling away is lacking in the ministers. So there were thousands of seats all over the place as far as the eye could see. These architects began to show up, all sizes, shapes, colors, clothing, etc. And I was allowed to step out of body in the dream. The Lord began to speak to my spirit about how sad he is regarding his body and what seems to be is not what really is. And as I looked, I wept and I was crying out to him. A hand appeared, and it was handed a stack of 1-inch square cards that looked like cardboard. On each square was written one of the following: N-4, E-4, or O-4. I was told to go and place a square on the chairs that he would show me. And when placing which one card on which chair was a deliberate action. And I was told put N4 here and O4 here and so on. I didn't put a square card on every chair, but on those told to me. And I said, how can I do this, for I do not have enough squares? I was told to get busy, so I started laying a card only on certain chairs as I walked down the rows. I knew which one went on which chair. And as the cards began to run out, another batch would appear in my hand. I began to tire because I could see no end to the chairs and people. But I was admonished to continue. No one asked what I was doing or what I was placing on their chairs. Then it began to rain, light at first. And then it was really pouring down. The rain was refreshing and gave me additional energy. Sounds like an outpouring, right, of the Spirit. I was told to continue, and I did. The water began to rise, first over the soles of my shoes, and then over my shoes, ankles, and to mid-shin. Well, the water of the Word and Spirit arising in the world will refresh the righteous, but bring increasing judgment upon the wicked. He said this happened three times. The last time, everything was the same except the following. As the water kept rising, kept placing the square cards on the chairs, walking between them, then I stepped into a large hole with my left leg, all the way up to my waist. Once in the hole, the cards in my hand went away. The goats which the Lord placed on the left may represent those in the body who are stubborn and are swallowed up by the earth, meaning their own flesh. Isaiah 42 and 22. But this is a people robbed and plundered. They are all of them snared in holes, and they are hid in prison houses. They are for a prey, and none delivereth, for a spoil, and none saith restore. Once this falling away is complete, no more cards will be given out, for there will be no more grace given to become a builder of the kingdom, which are the ministers, right? When my left foot hit the bottom of the hole, my left leg cramped so hard it woke me up. As I was waking up, my leg actually cramping, I was told the N was for Nehemiah, the O for Obadiah, and the E for Ezra. The fours represent chapters, with the exception of Obadiah. So Ezra 4 speaks of the, this is my note, speaks of the opposition of the wicked against those who build the true temple. Well, we know that. It's been throughout history, right? Nehemiah 4 speaks of the opposition of the wicked against those who build the wall of protection. The builders or architects, ministers, in this case, had come out of Babylon, but were in the process of building that temple, which represents Christ in their lives. In the third case of Obadiah, this was not true. What I do not understand, he said, is the scripture from Obadiah 1 and 4. Though you build high like the eagle, though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. Well, my thought on this is Obadiah was written about Edom, which is the seed of Esau, who sold his birthright from his father and became the enemy of Jacob or Israel. And Jesus was the stone that the builders or ministers rejected. This represents those Christian builders who will be lost due to selling their birthright by walking after the flesh, through bitterness, and end up attacking their own brethren. And as Esau, his seed did in Obadiah, right? Hebrews 12 and 14 says, follow after peace with all men and the sanctification without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking carefully lest there be any man that falleth short of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby the many be defiled. Well, we saw that happen with the faction, you know. lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. In other words, following after the flesh, right? For you know that even when he afterward desired to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for a change of mind. And they added in there, in his father, but that's not the one who needed to change his mind, right? Change of mind means a repentance, right? Though he sought it diligently with tears. He sought it, but couldn't find it. He couldn't find repentance for himself. Verse 4 here represents these people who are building their own Babylonish structures to heaven and are among the one-third of the stars that fall from heaven. Revelation 12 and 3. And there was seen another sign in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his head 7 diadems or crowns. And his tail draweth a third part of the stars of heaven, and didst cast them to the earth. In other words, a great falling away. And 6 and 13 says, and the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she is shaken of a great wind. The 3 different cards represent the seed of Abraham and not those multitudes who only claim Christianity but receive no card. The 1/3 represents the apostates of Obadiah 4, who will be swallowed up in judgment like the left leg of the body and lose their position in heaven with Christ. And that was as the stars of Abraham's seed, right? According to what the Lord said. So the 2/3 of those in Ezra and Nehemiah who will see their error and begin to build themselves into the true temple of God, the card stopped coming at the falling away, because there will be no more grace for the old order. And these are, of course, like the Pharisees of today who become builders. And as in Jesus' day, the man-child brings about the end of the old order, the true disciples became the new order builders. Amen. And we have those coming today. Now, this revelation we called Coming Giants of the Faith, John Higuereta. Just thought I would share a couple of dreams I had right after discovering UBM a few months ago and after watching the first part of the Hidden Manna series. I started having dreams and signs occur in my life that confirmed that I had come to the right place. And my thought, of course, is, praise the Lord, that blesses us too, right? The first dream started with me traveling through a dark city toward a mall. I entered the mall and went to a store that sold shirts with Christian symbols on them. Well, a dark city probably represents not abiding in the congregation of true light, but in the dark doctrines of men and traditions. A mall represents the Babylonish world of churchianity, where the gospel is bought and sold. And shirts represent how shirts advertise for businesses. These advertise each sect or their teachings, and they are businesses for them, with the buying and selling thing. One of my good friends from the past was in the store looking at the shirts. We both looked around for a bit, and I decided that I was done looking and asked him if he was ready to go. In other words, rejecting the old order, right? He said that he was done shopping and that he wanted to stay in the store for a good. In other words, he's going to stick with the old order. He wanted to stay in his old order church where the gospel teaching is merchandised and sold and hirelings are bought with salaries and offerings. Amen. I wanted him to go with me, but decided that if he wanted to stay, that was his choice. I, however, had seen enough. I didn't want to buy anything and was ready to go. Note, this same friend from the dream ended up parting ways with me about 2 months later, after getting involved with the whole drunken glory movement. Because I wasn't willing to go along with some of the behavior I saw, me neither, I was accused of having a spirit of a Pharisee. Actually, it's just the opposite. Factious people always accuse you of what they are doing. Okay? This split hurt me pretty badly. Well, I would say, oops, there's a confirmation. I had not read that when I made the notes above. The remnant church, meaning in Greek, called out ones. Church means called out ones. What were they called out of? Well, they were called out of the denominations of Judaism. And we also are called out of the denominations of what is loosely called Christianity. So the called out ones will leave the apostate sheepfold to follow the Lamb, as in John chapter 10. The disciples came out of the denominations of Judaism to follow the Lamb. The goats will separate from them to follow the darkness, just like our parable here, right? I ended up leaving the mall and was headed towards the beach. Well, I'll remind you that God said the sands of the seashore are the seed of Abraham by faith, right? And as I pulled up to the beach, I headed for the dock and was shocked to see submarines all around the dock and the shore. I remember asking myself in the dream why all these submarines were there. Well, the waters of the word are a curse to the wicked. These waters may not come upon the beach of God's true people to stay, but must recede. Yes, we are chastened with the waters of the word, because they are the law of God. We are chastened with them, but we learn and we turn, right? Amen. So the dangers in the church world that were normally hidden are now being exposed. And wolves are seen everywhere. Very true. The submarine strategy of German U-boats was called wolf packs. They are, as Jude described, hidden rocks in your love feasts. Jude 12. These are they who are hidden rocks in your love feasts, for when they feast with you, shepherds that without fear feed themselves, clouds without water, carried along by winds, autumn leaves without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. The submarines represented their man-made structures to deal with the curse of the word around them, because they always run to man for salvation and man's ways for salvation from the curse. It never ultimately works. So all of a sudden, I heard a loud noise coming from the sea that sounded like thunder. Well, in the book of Revelation, thunder is only mentioned in two places, and in both, it is the sign of judgments being released in the tribulation through the man-child ministry. Revelation 6 and 1. And I saw, when the Lamb opened one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, Come. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat thereon had a bow, and there was given unto him a crown, and he came forth a conquering and to conquer. Well, this is a sign of Jesus in the man-child ministry bringing judgments in our day. And this second text of thunder is too, Revelation 14 and 1. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000. There's your man-child. Having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. In other words, the mind of the Spirit, right? And I heard a voice from heaven as the voice of many waters and as the voice of a great thunder. So I looked out towards the sea and saw a bunch of boats loaded with people. The boats were sinking, and the people on them were crying out in fear when out of nowhere the boats started to rise up into the air, supported by these giant men who had come out of the water. Well, I can tell you, the church is not ready for tribulation. They're going to panic. It'll be like they're sinking, right? But God has a preparation for them. So these giant men who have come out of the water, right? Oddly enough, seeing the large men didn't surprise me as much as seeing the submarines did. Well, the boats may be families, groups, or churches that have been previously floating above the waters of the curse of the word, but are in great danger from the tribulation storm and raging sea of humanity. God is raising up the man-child, true giants of the faith, who also have been hidden and have come from under the curse themselves, in other words, out of the waters themselves, to minister the real gospel to boatloads of sinking families, groups, tribes, tongues of Christians. Well, praise God. Moses, the man-child's name, meant taken from the waters, meaning the word. Okay, in other words, these giants are going to be products of the word of God. They're going to look like Jesus. So after watching these men rescue the sinking boats, I started walking to a nearby forest. Well, the forest, the trees of righteousness in Zion, who are filled with the Spirit in the tribulation and bear fruit, is symbolized here in Isaiah 61 and 3. To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, and the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Amen. So this text, Isaiah 61, 1 through 3, was quoted by Jesus when he was anointed as the man-child at the beginning of his ministry. And that was a tribulation. So we can see that what happened in the Gospels is happening again. Isaiah 32 and 15 says, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness become a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be esteemed as a forest. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Many of God's people have never received it, but when the Israelites went into the wilderness, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea, which is water baptism and spirit baptism. And then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, verse 16, and righteousness shall abide in the fruitful field. So as I walked in the forest, I noticed what looked like a small one-room chapel. I walked to the front of the chapel and noticed that there was an old woman who looked extremely distressed, sweeping the empty chapel out. She looked up at me, and I noticed that she was pregnant. Well, the old lady is the remnant chosen church bride, and she is cleaning her place of communion with God. She is old because she has matured to the image of the ancient church. She is distressed over the spiritual condition of her Lord's house, which is one, not the fragmented sectarian denominational sects of larger Christianity. She is pregnant because she is bringing forth the man-child, the giants who saved the people above, and also her individual fruit of Christ in you, the hope of glory. So this is before he comes for his people. He comes in his people before he comes for his people. Always remember that. Everybody thinks they're going to fly away now, you know. So in the dream, I was trying to figure out what I was seeing when suddenly the front door slowly started to close. And the lady stopped sweeping and looked up at me, crying. It was at this point that I heard a loud voice say, "The countdown has begun," quote unquote. And the dream ended here. Well, the door is closing to be in the chosen church bride and the man-child leadership. And this is the countdown to the complete closing of this door at the tribulation. The first fruits are ready to lead the apostate church through the wilderness, as their preachers are not capable of doing. As you know, Moses went through his own wilderness before he was able to go back and bring the church of that day into their wilderness. You have to go there first yourself, right? The next dream wasn't really a dream, but a half-awake, half-asleep vision. A man came to me in a vision and asked me to follow him. He took me to a cave and asked me to look in. Inside the cave was a young man on his knees before a stone altar. He was crying out to the Lord to save and protect him. He was crying out in repentance like I had never heard anyone cry out before. The man told me that it was my turn to learn a new song, just like David. And I assume that the man in the cave was King David. At least that's what I thought. The vision ended there. Well, the man he was following is Jesus in the man-child, who is typed as King David, who was the head over God's people and God's leadership, which was Jerusalem, who was also the head as the bride over the rest of the body of God, right? The man at the altar who is being invited to learn the new song as the Davids are is John, among others. Here's John's text, Revelation 14 and 1. And I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing upon Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. And I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of a great thunder. There it is. And the voice which I heard was as the voice of harpers harping with their harps. And they sing, as it were, a new song. There it is. Before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no man could learn the song save the 144,000, even they that had been purchased out of the earth. And verse 14 and 4, notice the number, 144. That's the number of the man-child. And these are they that were not defiled with women, or sects or denominations, right? For they are virgins. In other words, not having the seed or word of men. These are they that follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were purchased from among men to be the firstfruits unto God and unto the Lamb. And the cave is under the earth as in death to self, which repentance brings about. You know, I mean, we know what baptism is. It's a death, burial, and resurrection, right? And when you're buried, you're, of course, buried in water, which is the word of God, which puts to death your old man. But it's a type of being buried, right, under the earth. So this next revelation we call Jesus comes into us through faith. Eve Brast. I would like to share a short dream with my brethren that I had on April the 11th. I would also like to preface this dream with some things and lessons the Father has been teaching me and showing me recently. I have a tendency to get too focused on one side of an issue and can lose sight of the bigger picture. And because of this, I was getting too focused on desiring to cleanse myself of all defilement of flesh and spirit. And because of this, my spirit within me was becoming downcast and discouraged. I was becoming discouraged at every personal failure of my ability to overcome my old man, because my desire is so strong to live pleasing before the Father. And I was feeling like I was letting him down. Well, you get caught up in the ability of your own self, right? When you get to looking at the problem instead of looking at the Savior, huh? So that's where the balance comes in, right? The enemy was telling me, you just won't be ready. You'll just be passed over. In reference to preparing to be in the bride. But the Father has been telling me it's time for you to rest. You can't do it in your own strength. I have already shown you the end from the beginning. Well, we were perfected at the cross, and he will manifest it by our faith, believing that we have received. This is the key here. You're not striving. You believe you have received. Hebrews 10 and 14. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So she went on, he brought to my memory the verse where the people asked Jesus in John 6 and 28, "What must we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Amen. We were crucified with Christ. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. We're believing we have received, right? She went on to say, he also brought to my mind what he promised in the man-child to be sent forth dream, in which he said, "I am the Lord your God, and I am able to make them ready," which was in response to me saying in the dream, "But Lord, they're not ready." Then at night, before I went to bed, I asked the Lord for a verse for encouragement, and my finger was on Matthew 24 and 45. "Who then is the faithful and wise servant whom his Lord has set over his household to give them their food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. So he that endureth to the end shall be saved." And my thought was, those who are faithfully serving God's children will find a grace from him, right? Then I was awakened suddenly by the Father at 11:49 p.m., 11 minutes to midnight. I was aware that Father had given me the following dream, and I dreamed that I was standing on a transparent floor among the clouds with my arms outstretched in the shape of the cross, dressed in white, seamless garment. So the bride, standing in heavenly places in Christ, with heavenly discernment, bearing the cross by righteous works. She obviously had heavenly discernment of the earthly, looking through the floor, right? I was looking down upon earth over the Middle East, above Iran and Pakistan. I heard the voice of the Lord say to me, "Tell my people I will epiphany," or shine forth, that's what it means, right? "Through them, but not by their own efforts and strength, but by mine own, saith the Lord." Then I heard his voice listing all the Stan countries, starting with Pakistan, then Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, etc. This part may be a reference to a war that precedes the manifestation of the man-child. So this was started to be fulfilled after 2012, and now in 2026, we're seeing the Iran war. They've been involved in war, including Iran, mentioned earlier, and the man-child body is about to manifest. So then in the dream, my husband got up out of the bed and went into the living room of my father's old mobile home where we lived. This part of the dream was so real to me that it woke me up. Okay, well, the bride body is the father's mobile home or tabernacle. He will arise from his rest and move into the living room, and he will live through us. Amen. So after this, I was lying in the dark with my eyes closed, and the Father gave me a vision. I saw myself as a giant. I believe this means a corporate body of the bride, right? I saw myself as a giant still dressed in the same seamless white garment, which represents, we know from Scripture, works of righteousness, laying down across the heavenlies above earth. And I believe this talks about overcoming the earthly through the rest of faith. With my arms stretched out in the shape of the cross, in other words, you're going through a crucifixion of the old life, the old efforts, and everything else, the law, etc. And with my palms up, in other words, receiving grace from heaven, and my head in the east direction. Well, Jesus was above me with his forehead and nose touching mine, his chest to my chest, his palms to my palms, and the toes of his sandals to the toes of my sandals. It was like being pressed against a mirror. Well, this speaks of coming into his image by seeing him in us by faith, 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are transformed into the same image from glory to glory, even as from the Lord the Spirit. And here's a note from Deborah Horton. She said, this reminds me of 2 Kings 4:34. Yes, me too. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon him, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Well, this is, of course, the resurrection of the man-child, right? Very clearly, because he had been dead. I then woke up and asked my husband if he had been to bed and then got back up, and he said no. Well, though it seemed so real, it did not happen in the physical. Right? Many people miss things God does in the spiritual realm. So I also asked the Father for a couple of scriptures for this dream and vision. And I flipped open my Bible, and my finger was on Matthew 21:25, the baptism of John. Whence was it? From heaven or from men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, if we shall say from heaven, he will say unto us, why then did you not believe him? Well, we must believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of the man-child. It's been done. It's accomplished. Verse 26, but if we say from men, we fear the multitudes, for all hold John as a prophet. So this baptism unto repentance is from heaven and not of man's works. The other verse my finger fell on was Isaiah 54:10. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest, and not comforted, behold, I will set my stones in fair colors, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. So God will do this work in us by his mercy, and not by our failing self-works. I'm sitting here listening to last night's Bible study, Endure to See the Promise, right now, and am amazed that it is exactly along the same subject of what the Father has been showing me lately and confirmation of this dream. And he gave me, praise the Father for his supernatural guidance for us, his saints. Amen. So we give praise to God. We got our eyes on God. You know, he's going to finish the work which he started in us, right? Amen. So this revelation, we're going to call Plowing and Planting Faith, Vernon Love. On Friday, March the 5th, in my early morning awakening hour, I received this word from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is sending forth his plowmen in this hour to plow up the clay in his body, to remove the seeds of doubt and unbelief in his church. The wind of the Spirit of God is going to blow the seeds of doubt and unbelief away from the elect and into the face of the adversary. And then the true seed of the word of faith will be planted in the good ground of my people once again to bring forth much fruit, even some to a hundredfold. The latter rain of my Holy Spirit is soon to be poured out without measure, so stand fast and be encouraged, for the great harvest of souls is drawing nigh. Faith is going to bloom once again in my good soil and produce mighty trees with an abundance of fruit that will do the works of the end-time move of the Spirit of God. The plowman is getting ready to overtake the reapers. Glory be to God. Well, a note from RV. Praise God forevermore. I have had similar words in meetings from the Holy Ghost, and especially since I have focused on finishing the Holy Ghost book. I firmly believe this to be a word of the Lord, and that God will protect his children in the land of Goshen, wherever that is for each of us. And I also know that as the false leadership becomes more deceived, the following scripture will become more prevalent as the Lord moves in his man-child reformers. 1 Kings 18 and 21. And Elijah came near unto all the people and said, How long go ye limping between the two sides? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. So God answered by fire and put the deceivers to shame. Okay, here's another revelation that we called Tribulations Are Tests of Obedience. Judy Gregerson. I was walking around with someone and a great windstorm whipped up. And my thought was walking with the Lord as tribulation arises. Winds of false doctrine and tribulation are coming to test the saints in whether or not they are obeying the word or believing the word, right? So we see here that after knowledge comes testing to see who has built on the rock of obedience. Matthew 7 and 24. Everyone, therefore, that heareth these words of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. So let everything that you do be founded upon the rock of God's word, right? It doesn't change. That's why he uses the term rock. And verse 26 goes on, and everyone that heareth these words of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and smote upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall thereof, because we're talking about eternal life here. Great fall. Ephesians 4 and 14 says, that we may be no longer children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, in craftiness, after the wiles of error. I was around these huge old trees, and branches started breaking off in the wind. This old growth was not strong. In fact, it looked rotten in these old trees. Well, my thought is that the old churches, denominations, and ministries that refuse the new growth of the Reformation message are being revealed as rotten and corrupt by the winds and storms of tribulation. And this is happening now, and it's whipping up in the world. Judgments in finances, politics, life, weather, earthquakes, winds, earth, and heaven, change, etc. John 15 and 5 says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. How does he abide in you? Well, Jesus talked about in the parable of the sower, sowing the seed in your heart. Are you reading the word of God and putting it in your heart? Because it will change you. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So, if these old churches were of God, they would bring forth his fruit as the nature, character, and authority of Jesus. In other words, we don't change Jesus, nor his doctrines, nor his covenant with us, like these men have done. But even though they appear great in the eyes of man, inside they are rotten and dead, as Jesus rebuked them for in his day too. You know, and I kept walking, and finally two or three small pieces of branches came flying at me. I believe this represents people from the churches who come against us, especially their leaders, and are just as they persecuted Jesus and his disciples. One piece, about 2 feet long, hit me, but I felt no pain and wasn't hurt. But huge branches were falling all around on other things. So God's judgment on the big church leaders and the ministers as they fall in tribulations, I believe, is implied here. I was amazed by the old growth. I was looking up in these trees, and I knew that this old growth, that I believe this is Christians walking in old traditions and error, right? This old growth was all going to be blown off these trees and hurt a lot of things on the ground. But it couldn't hurt me, even when it came flying at me with great power. The Christians living close to the world will suffer as their false apostate leadership is broken off and exposed. The falling branches of Christianity will come against and persecute the elect, exactly as in Jesus' day, right? We saw the apostate denominations of Judaism and their leaders persecuting Jesus and his disciples. Acts 8 and 1 says, "And Saul was consenting unto his death. And there arose on that day a great persecution against the church." Don't think it won't happen today. It's part of that trial, that test, right? People will fall away in this, you know, but they are proved that they didn't have Jesus living in them, right? So he said, weird, huh? And my thought is, no, God gives strange dreams so that we remember them. Well, we call this one Worldwide Holy Spirit Outpouring, Samuel Paguega. I think this dream tops all my spiritual dreams in its intensity and revelation. In it, I was in a small gathering of sorts. We were talking and then praying. A bit more had happened before that, but I think the point of this event is that none of what had happened before this mattered. All of a sudden, it was like when you step out of your home straight into the sun at noon. I was overwhelmed with light energy, not as much as to blind the eyes, but more of a light energy that penetrates to every cell and fiber of my body. And I felt I was no longer physical or fleshly, but a new being. And as I looked straight forward in front of me, the physical world began to fade. But not because it was disappearing, it was because I began to perceive it in a new way, with new senses, and everything became almost transparent. I looked up and began to speak words in a new language. I was confessing something, and although I could not understand the words, I could feel them in my being. The words were energizing and vibrating my being, my frequency, my entity, my spirit. It was as if all of me became one, my spirit with my mind and body. And as I began to speak, my perception of my surroundings grew. I could feel and perceive and see all those around me who were experiencing the same thing. First, the two people beside me, then outwardly the people in the place, and then the whole block, and then the city, and then the whole earth. We as disciples of Christ were all one, not because we perceived each other, but because we were confessing the same words and because the same flow of energy or power of the Holy Spirit was flowing through us. Sounds like the latter rain outpouring, huh? Although there was a worldwide outpouring, only the vessels of glory, the vessels of light, were filled to the seal. Well, this could be the first fruits outpouring at the beginning of the tribulation. I could feel the power or energy flowing through me, vibrating every part of my being. I spoke words and feelings became more and more intense, so much so that I could not even begin to describe them. I saw everything as white, yellowish, and orange lights, as if everything was transparent. I felt one with the source. at one with the words, and as one with everyone confessing those words. And all these feelings of oneness occurred at three distinct levels. All of this, along with a feeling of peace, it was as if this was a new nature, and I knew what it was. I experienced the whole thing even when I awoke. It seemed like I knew what was happening, and I knew what the source was, what the energy or power was, and the meaning of the words. I woke up shortly afterward, possibly on the last word spoken. Although in the dream it seemed like things would not be the same from that point on. And as I awoke, I could almost feel the vibration of energy in my being as it dispersed into the normality of my awakened state. I always wondered, what does it mean to be one with God and His Christ and His Spirit? And now I know the anointing of the Holy Spirit will perform this. Yes, this is true. I'll remind you again that the children of Israel, when they went into the wilderness, they were baptized in the cloud and in the sea. The cloud being the Spirit baptism, which most of God's people have never received. If you haven't received that, you should read the book of Acts, because nothing has changed. It's still there waiting for you. Ask the Lord to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to overflowing. This is going to be necessary. It was necessary for them to go into the wilderness filled with His Spirit. And it's necessary for us. We're about to do the same thing. Isn't God good? Amen. Well, thank you for joining us today, saints. The Lord bless you and keep you. And be filled with God's Spirit. Doesn't matter if you've been filled before. They were refilled in the book of Acts. We need to stay filled with the Holy Spirit. God bless you. Bye-bye.